This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neesian Footy on ABC Radio Australia.
Whakatolofa atu to our Tuvalu audience and welcome everyone to Neesian Footy, the best spot for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union world. My name is Sam Wykes. And alongside me is not my Cook Island Coley again. He is away. He's doing some other work. The man back in the chair, Will Hoppawatt there. Here he is. How are you? How was your weekend?
Good, thanks, Sammy. It was a wet one. Grateful to be back.
The weather's been unbelievable. The last 2 weeks, it's just been wet weather footy the whole time, and a mud patch out there ripping up, so the groundspeople will be probably not happy with what's going on out there, that's for sure.
They'll be put under the pump, the groundsmen, but... Exciting news to cover this week. We've got round 23 of the NRL. The top eight continues to take shape. And the Panthers, everyone be petrified
of
them. I can't
believe it, man. Top four. They're in the top four right now after what being towards the bottom of the table after round 11.
Round 11.
I think it was right up 11, for 11 weeks last. So between last and fourth last. So can you see them going all the way? Can they do it?
Honestly, I think they can. I think every year everyone sort of said, oh, you know, they've lost X, Y, and Z. They probably won't. But, mate, they've done it the last 4 years. And maybe them coming last, they probably needed something to play for. They're probably like, oh, everyone's riding us
off. We need this storyline to, create purpose and, spark the bloody tires a little bit there, or spark the tires. I don't know what that means. But anyway, we have a big show plan. We also have NRLW round 6 news with Shelley Long. She'll be on there to talk about that, as well as the Manusina and Fijiana troll game before they head to the World Cup. And we also have the man himself from the Waratahs who played in the First Nations and Pacifica team against the Lions a few weeks ago, Charlie Gamble. Did you know he was Tongan?
Is he?
Well, here we go. He's surprised.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, Tongan.
So okay. Any other interesting facts about him?
Well, he's Tongan, so that's a good start.
That's a great
start. His coach didn't even know at the time. But the good thing I love about Charlie is the fact that he came through the system through like 7th division here in Sydney.
Really?
So, responded to a Facebook message from a recruiter at Petersham while he was playing over in Christchurch. And he said, I'll come over and have a crack. 12 months later, he's training with the Waratahs. So there's a fun fact about Charlie, which I'm looking forward to chatting about. And also, we'll chat, because there wasn't any rugby games, I just want to get your thoughts on, would you turn down $12 million?
No.
No. Even if it was maybe not even a 50-50 guarantee. You're still saying yes to
50-50? I'm looking at the glass half full.
Okay, perfect. Well, Rico Ioane turned down $12 million, and we'll talk about that in our rugby chat.
Sounds good.
Moment of the week.
Yes, our moment of the week, and we caught it last week.
We did.
We did. We caught it. We said this kid will make his debut very soon because he was 18th man for the Dragons. His name is?
Jacob Halangahu.
So he's, made his debut.
Made his debut.
Yeah, he's only 19 years of age. Played New South Wales Origin under 19s, 2 years. He's captain Australian schoolboys. He's Tongan Australian. His family's from Malfunga in Tonga.
You know his family, Sammy?
No, his dad, Doa. So my wife actually went to university with his auntie, with Doa's sister. So
nice.
Knew the family a little bit there, but what a big moment for him and his family, because I think he's actually one of 7,
right.
One of 6. So big family like yourself, Will. But he got to make his debut, age 19, and here's some of the audio.
In centre field, Gutherson, that pass looked forward-ish there to the left-hand side where there is a carry from Jacob Halangahu on debut in the last 10 minutes of the game.
There he is, the man, Jacob. You know, when you see a young 19-year-old, especially in the middle, like how hard is it for a teenager to debut, like in the middle or just on the edge there as a forward compared to maybe being on the wing like yourself?
Oh, absolutely.
Not saying that he didn't take tough carries, but...
it is. It's harder for forwards to debut at a younger age than backs, right? Because forwards, you've got to be a bit, you've got to be a bit more about you physically. And, obviously the coach has seen that and... we played one of his runs. I wonder if he's going to remember his first run. I actually remember my first ever run in the NRL. I still remember it like it was yesterday. Do you remember yours, Sammy?
No, my memory's like goldfish. Yeah, I remember my first line break was in my debut game.
Really?
Massive
line break.
We need to get
the audio for that. That could be next week's moment.
Yeah, okay, we'll see if we can find it. You have to dig pretty deep in the archives of that. But who was your first run against?
First run, played against the Broncos, ran into big Sammy Thaiday.
How was it?
Painful.
Yeah? How heavy would you have been then?
I was probably like 95, 96 kegs.
Oh, okay, still solid.
So I wasn't run straight challenge. I'll use some footwork. So,
of course, yes. Silliness if you're going straight when you're only a teenager in the big stage. But hey, he's going to be playing for Tonga. I've got no doubt, Jacob. All the best. Let's get over to our rugby league news.
Hey everyone, I'm Braden Wooliami, and I'm listening. Oh, listening.
Yeah, listening.
I'm listening. And I'm listening to Nijin Footy.
How good's that? That's the head coach of the Bulldogs there, just having a bit of a laugh with us. Right. And, hey, it's harder than what people think.
Yeah. All right. Well, exciting news in the NRL. Speaking of the Panthers, they walloped the Newcastle Knights 48-12 in terrible conditions. I don't know if you've seen that game, but that was a farm up there in Newcastle, the field there. The one game I wanted to highlight was the Raiders versus Manly. We spoke last week, Sammy, about the Raiders lost to the Dragons, and we spoke about, was that loss good for them in the long run? And I think last weekend showed that against Manly. They came out and put on a clinical performance. Manly, surprisingly, made less errors, made less tackles, and they ran for more metres against Canberra.
And still lost.
So do you think that goes more to Canberra's defence or Manly's attack?
I'd say it's probably more Manly's attack.
Yeah.
You know, just if you've... Yeah, just not finishing off all the good work that you've created. So that's probably on them, and it's probably been a outcome of their season, you know, beat up and down. So one week they're on, one week they're off. So it's just like their attack.
And you're not wrong there, Sammy. And
or they're missing your brother. So that could be the other reason.
Potentially. but at the same time, Canberra's defence was it was great. Man, I just thought the brute force up front with Josh Papali'i and Joe Tapine, hard to match for Manly. And then you got two youngsters, two Nijin players I wanted to highlight, Simi Sasangi and Ata Mariota. Coming off the bench, they're weapons. They start with weapons and they're replaced by young weapons. And so, a great 1-2 punch there for the Canberra Raiders. The only highlight for Manly, I would say, was the Newington man that could have been playing for Wallabies, Sammy.
Stop bringing that up, mate. We talked about that off air.
Sorry.
Leave my code alone. Actually, we're on the up now, our code, but we'll talk about that next week after the All Blacks game. Or South Africa game.
Yeah, okay. Then Tolu Taukola scored a try, set up one, but here's some audio of his try.
Last tackle here for Manly as it goes to Cherry Evans, to Brooks. Brooks goes himself, looks for runners, back on the inside. Lovely piece of play here by Cooler. And Cooler's across the line. Try to Cooler. He cut back on the inside and left the Raiders' defence in his wake with a lovely piece of play. Got through the tackle of Fogarty, got through the tackle of Starling, then he got through the tackle of Mariota and Weeks to dive over for a great try.
I think the highlight that I saw on social media that was probably doing the rounds was Jazz Tavanga. Apparently, did he celebrate a bit too early? Was that correct?
So when I think Turbo scored like... within the first five minutes, and he's doing the old Viking clap to the crowd.
And it's come back to bite him in the bum.
Come on, Jazz. You know better, Jazz. You know better. And the other game I wanted to highlight was the Dragons and Sharks, the upset of the week, I believe. Dragons, they've gone back-to-back wins. They beat Raiders last week, and they've beaten Cronulla last weekend in the local derby, the Dragons and the Sharks. And so... I read a stat that the Sharks have beaten the Dragons the last 10 times. So that's a number of years.
That might be
4 or 5 years worth of games. And so, the Dragons sort of broke that little hoodoo. And statistically, it was a fairly even match, but the biggest difference was the errors. Sharks made a lot of errors and Dragons completed high, which I think goes to show, doesn't matter where you are on the ladder or how good you are, you're not completing your sets, you're not giving your team a chance to win. And so they actually held the Sharks to nil in the second half, surprisingly, the Dragons. And so a gritty win from the Dragons. And the moment of the match for me was, it was a try by Terrell Sloan, but it was set up by Mole Sully, and here's the audio.
5 metres short of that southern line now, directly in front. Cook directs traffic, right-hand side, King Tonga, Flanagan, now Sully tips on here, Tyrell Sloan with sheer pace can go in and score in that southwestern corner of the ground, and the Dragons hit back.
And so there it is, Mo Sully, obviously probably more known for his big, robust, tough carries, but there he showed a great sleight of hands by, you know, quick tip on to put his wing away to score that try. And so that, along with obviously Jacob, probably was the moment of the match in that game.
Just on Mo Sully, just quickly, I think everyone might have forgotten the fact that the start of his NRL career was so turbulent in the fact that he was let go by
Tigers. Yeah.
And then let go by...
Then he come to the Dogs when I was
the
there.
The Dogs when you were there, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, and so he was there for maybe, 6 weeks?
And then got let go.
Got let go again, and then, yeah, his career was really up in the air, and then went to Manly, now he's at Dragons, and he's really...
He's becoming a leader in the competition and absolutely. Leader down there with the Dragons, so it's good to see that he's turned things around, and, yeah, he's doing some great things.
Definitely. Another big game was the Roosters and Dolphins, 64-12. What did you make of that, Sammy?
64-12. I couldn't believe this game, especially it just seemed like there was raw emotion. Spencer and Brisbane, it's like oil and water up there. They don't get along at all. There's something in the water or something before Spencer gets on that plane to go to Brisbane where he goes, I'm going to just spark something here, kick the tires, light the fires and just see how the crowd responds. But the Roosters, they're impressive. Mark Nwanganitawase, he scored some freakish tries. But
another Wallaby.
Will.
Sorry.
One more of those comments, you get out the door, I'm going to call T to come back in, all right?
Mate, but imagine he was playing in the series against the Lions.
You think I don't go through this every day about my possible Wallaby team that is playing in the NRL?
Okay, sorry.
But, mate, he's on fire for the Chookies. And that's it for NRL, is it? Oh, no, the ladder. What have we got on there?
The ladder. Penrith are now fourth. We spoke about them. Don't want to play them in the finals, Sammy. I'm telling you now, you do not want to play them in the finals. They play Storm this Thursday night, so that'll be a blockbuster, and the Roosters, because of their big win, it means they're still in the mix. They've got a tough draw, though, with the Bulldogs this week. And so, those are the ladder movements after last weekend. Remember, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. Over to Queensland Cup, the PNG Hunters beat Clydesdale 48-12 in Port Moresby, running in 10 tries with 8 different try scorers. It means they're 8th with a 3-point gap to 9th. There's 3 games to go for the Hunters, including the South Logan Magpies this Sunday in Papua New Guinea. And over to New South Wales in the Jersey Flag. Unfortunately, the Kaiviti Silk Tails lost to Wests 34-22, which takes their season record to 3 wins and 18 losses. Another tough year for our Fijian brothers.
It might be a tough year as a team, but individually, there's going to be some weapon that comes out of there.
I have to be.
That's going to absolutely light up our TV screens, got no doubt. So that's what it is. It's a feeder for every other team out there to identify the stars. So keep fighting the fight, Kaiviti Silk Tails. But is that all we have for rugby?
That's all we have for league. Sammy, over to you for rugby.
All right, let's go rugby union. And I knew there was something missing in my life over the weekend. It was very quiet, a little bit different, so I wasn't sure what to do. So I started folding towels. I don't know if you saw on my socials. I learned how to roll a towel.
That was impressive.
Like a hotel style.
Yeah, I've seen that. Well done.
Thanks, bro. I appreciate it. That's what my life has come to, rolling towels when rugby isn't on. But I did remember Fijiana played Manusina Samoa in a warm-up game in Singatoka ahead of the Women's Rugby World Cup, which kicks off on the 23rd of August. Manusina taking on the Wallaroos, and then Fijiana taking on Canada the next day on the 24th. And we'll go through that with Shelley Long. We also have the Queensland Reds touring to the beautiful Kingdom of Tonga, where they will take on the Ikaletahi this Friday, the 15th. And this will be a crucial hit out for Tonga as they prepare for a massive World Cup qualifier coming up within the Pacific, the PNC, and they'll play Samoa the following week. And I feel like with coaches like Orlando Soakai, Daniel Helangahu, Nili Latu, and I saw Koli Holani from Japan, I feel like this time around they're going to be better prepared compared to last year. So we'll be looking forward to the results to those games. But the big talking point out of probably rugby league and rugby union, Will, and I want to get your thoughts here. That's why I asked, would you turn down 12 mil? Because the reason for that is there's a new rebel competition that's that's trying to get off the ground. Mm-hmm. The R360, which is almost like the LIV Golf of or the IPL in cricket, they are throwing around some big money for the top rugby league and rugby union players. Mm. And Rico Ioane turned down $12 million. You know, so this competition will be like a breakaway franchise-style competition founded by Mike Tindall, an ex-English player. And apparently it's backed with investors from like Saudi Arabia, US, UK. They want celebrity ownership. They're launching in 2026 with 8 teams. And so it'll be like your like Grand Prix style or like Sevens format where you play in different cities and you travel. So they will play between September and December for a bit of a sugar hit with the hopes of then having 18 games between March to August, September in 2027.
Wow.
What's your thoughts on that? Like, is it a threat to rugby league? Are people concerned?
I would be. If I mean, you say they're backed by, you know, people from Saudi Arabia, then yeah, that's shut the gates material. you can't match that money, right? If obviously if it is to come through. And so what are you doing, Sammy? So with the Ioane, the contract, what was that? $12 million over
3 years, and it's in US dollars. So I think that would have been 12 million NZ. So they're getting paid in US dollars.
Wow.
So you know, it's reported that Roger Tuivasa-Sheck is getting $1 million US. That's a big one. So like with those type of stars, it is juicy. You'll be silly not to think about it.
Nah.
But on the flip side of that, they're saying like, can it be long term with all that money going into it, with no real clear indication of broadcast deal, no real clear indication around high performance, like around coaches and physios, where they're going to be playing. So if you get injured outside of your, like say if you get injured on the last game of that tour, like where do you get sent back to?
Yeah, right.
You know, to like, you know, if you need a reconstruction or anything like that.
All those little finer details, eh?
All of that, that will be interesting. But
so those are the cons, obviously.
Yep.
Of this competition going through or not going through. With Rico, say it does go and takes off and he turns it down. What do you think?
that's a million-dollar question right there. Well, I don't think he'll be too concerned because I feel like if he misses the boat the first time, he's a good enough player to get on the boat the second time.
Yeah, right.
You know, so they'll come back around. And from my understanding, from my ear to the ground, that some people have pulled out because of the fact there was too many cons to the contract in a way of
because it's not guaranteed.
It's not guaranteed yet.
Yeah, okay.
So it still needs to get off the ground. So if you're in between and you've got to sign now for the All Blacks or the Wallabies or South Africa, are you really going to hold out for some hope that you could earn that much, or you're going to take the guaranteed?
Yeah, yeah.
But the implication for our Pacific Island players, I think when I was thinking about this, I do believe it could be a good thing for them because they still get to play test footy. And if there's the money that's around, it'll almost be like rugby league where the NRL, because you know Tino and Andrew Fifita at the time getting paid well at NRL, they can go and afford and take a pay cut playing for Tonga or Samoa.
That's true.
Yeah, the way this format works, hopefully it does allow players to go back and play for their nations, you know, with Tonga, Samoa, Fiji. You know, with the window, it might impact the PNC, but we're still probably 12 months, 24 months away. So they could change the schedule. I'm not too sure on that. So it's still up in the air with the calendar.
Yeah.
But I do believe, you know, just touching that point with Rico, there will be a second wave. I would sit back and probably watch. If I'm in his position, I would probably go, yep, I'd sit back and watch. If I'm 34, 35, last throw at the dice, I'll sign on the dotted line straight away, like ready to go. But yeah,
The only thing that will tell is time. Time will tell.
Time will tell. And if it does get off the ground, it's probably the shake that rugby needs. That's all we have for rugby union. Until we get to Charlie Gamble, who we're definitely talking about rugby with him, but let's get over to Shelley Long with the long story short.
The long story short with Shelley Long.
Yes, our PNG Orchid and NRLW player and friend, Shelley Long. Shelley, how are you? How's the recovery going?
I'm going good. The recovery's going well. It's another week, another testing week, actually. So I'm really hoping I can pass it and then move into the final stages of my rehab, doing some opposed, and then that will be pretty much cleared to play within 4 weeks' time. So my fingers are crossed. I had a great weekend with my family. I went home for the weekend, so I think my cup's full and I'm ready to really nail down on this rehab.
Nice work, Shell. And before we get to some of the games that stood out for you in the NRLW, family, you caught up with your family, you've been practicing tokpisin. Were you able to have any conversations with the family and show off your how fluent you are?
It was a great time back with my family, but my family doesn't actually speak tokpisin. Very proud Australian Irish people, so no tokpisin at the home.
Well, fair enough. You could teach them something then. Next family barbecue. But let's get into the games. What game stood out for you in round six?
Yeah, so it was actually the first ever Indigenous round within the NRLW competition. A great time to really acknowledge, you know, the First Nations of not only Australia, New Zealand as well, which was also great to see. The jerseys, for the first time ever, we had the Indigenous jerseys being able to be worn across two weekends, this weekend and next. For me, the games that stood out the most was definitely the Bulldogs versus the Warriors and the Parramatta Eels versus the Cowboys. I thought the Warriors, they have been strong competitors in this competition. They did start out a little bit rusty around the edges after having a few years off in the NRLW, but they're really coming back strong towards the back end of this season. They beat the Bulldogs 6-34, and it was Patricia Maliapo that really stood out for me in the half position.
Yeah, she's I watched that game. Yeah, she's a weapon. Yeah, speaking of Indigenous round, the Warriors came out to a Māori performance, which was a nice touch to the game being Indigenous round. And is her background rugby, that Patricia Maliapo, or was she? Do you know her background?
Yeah. Yep, so she is actually a rugby union and rugby sevens player for New Zealand. She was in that system over there, and it is her first time actually playing rugby league. So when you're thinking about converts in terms of rugby union to rugby league, you don't see too many come out and be such dominant players in the game, so fresh into their careers. But for her, it seems like it's such a natural sport for her. Her kicking game is incredible. You know, when you look at her game, her ability to just get them out of trouble, slot a ball in behind, and even particularly for one of those tries, I believe, for Tyra, she kicks the ball right into the corner, but just gives it enough bounce time in the in goal for them to go and dive over. And the Bulldogs players were absolutely amazed by that themselves. You see them with their mouths open going, oh my gosh, how'd she get that? But,
of course, she comes from rugby, player. Sammy?
Well, I was just about to correct Shelley there to say that she hasn't really seen converts really come over and kill the game. Mark Nwanganitawase, first game at the age of, 25, kills it. We have our friend at the Warriors, kills it. It's just an easier game to pick up, isn't it?
Should have come over, Sammy.
No, I wouldn't have killed it. I would have been folded, that's for sure. That's not for me, that game. But Dr. Hopper, was he happy with his daughter or no?
He's never happy.
He's never happy. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Hey, what about in the second game?
And the second game, it was the Parramatta Eels versus the Cowboys. The Cowboys walked away with the win 14-10. But I tell you what, it was an absolute nail biter. Just before halftime, the scoreboard was still nil all. But then they walked in after the Eels scored first 4-0. A low scoring game, but a great game to watch in terms of performance. I thought it was one of those games where both teams really battled it out, and it was just came down to the Cowboys switching up their fullback and moving Jakaia Whitfield to the wing and moving Crystal Blackwell to the fullback that really opened up the points for the Cowboys.
How did my favourite player go, Banu, off the bench?
Oh, she was good. Her and Elsie Albert, I tell you what, when they're running at each other, it's absolutely my favourite time. I sit back and I just, even at training when I'd watch them at the Orchids, I'd sit back and just let them go, let them have their moment together. But it was great to see. And Elsie Albert, as always, outstanding for Parramatta Eels. Her ability in both attack and defence, and particularly in her conditioning, where she can just stay on the field for such a long period of time. You know, a lot of middle forwards, they probably last about 15. They're mainly there for that impact, and then they rotate quite well. Elsie Albert's on the field for majority of the game. So for her, she's definitely a leader for the Parramatta Eels.
And I've seen on the ladder, the Cowboys with that win, they move into fourth position. Unfortunately for the Tigers and Raiders, they're still winless. But the Tigers play the Dragons this week, you know, 10th and 11th on the ladder. You think Tigers got a chance this week against the Dragons, Shell?
I do think so, and unfortunately for the Dragons, we have seen that there are a few key players that have gone out with injury, a few ACLs over there, and other bits and bobs happening. So I think the Tigers can really bring it back. It's just whether or not they want that win. But in saying that, the Raiders have the Warriors, so that will be another hard game for them. But when you look at their performance on the weekend, they actually scored a lot more points than what they have over the last 2 weeks. So positive things coming out for both of those teams.
I'm glad you found those positives. And I want to touch on what are, quickly before we go to Union, what are some of those positives? Because I can relate, and I know you can relate.
And me.
Will, you can relate as well. Yeah, oh, yeah, when you're in struggling teams. On how do you find those positives? What are you looking at?
I think you just kind of look at, well, for me, particularly, you know, with the Orchids, we sometimes don't have the best scoreboard points at the end of the game, and then you're going into another game that's quite tough and challenging. But I think you look at your teammates and you look at how hard they continue to work and show up for one another, but also you look at all the people who really want to be in your position, want to be in that team as well. That really helps you become a better player, and you know, it makes you work harder. So I really hope that they can look across their team and see players that really want to be there, and all the other younger players that want to be in their positions as well.
It helps you transition out of sport easy too, because, you know, when you get used to winning, they always find it hard to find those moments outside of sport. But when you lose, you realise, ah, sweet, I don't have to go through that again. That's how I see it. But let's get over to Rugby Union. Just one warm-up match between Fijiana and Manusina. How did that one play out?
Yeah, so the first warm-up match ahead of the Rugby World Cup, Fijiana won 31 points to 10 with Manusina unfortunately taking that loss. They are in a tough pool this year with Australia, England and the USA, but I think their spirits will be high, as they always are when we see them after any competition. They've worked really hard throughout this preparation for the Rugby World Cup. So hopefully that's just testing out structures, testing out plays, testing out which players work better with what other players in the team ahead of that World Cup.
Yeah, must needed a hit out. And what I loved about that game, after it finished, like they always do, come together, and the Fijiana team sung a beautiful song with both Manusina and Fijiana players arm in arm. So I always love seeing that about the game. Anything else before we wrap up?
Yeah, so the Fijiana squad has been officially announced ahead of the Rugby World Cup. There are 22 draw players named in that squad, which is outstanding. They will, they do head over there shortly, I believe, for their first game, which will kick off on the 24th of August against Canada. Fijiana is in a pool with Canada, Scotland and Wales. But for the Wallaroos, Charlotte Kaslick has been ruled out for the Rugby World Cup. She was seen carrying an injury, and she did have surgery only the other week, I believe. But she was ruled out, and Manoa Moleka has been called in for the replacement, which is super exciting. We've talked about her. She's definitely a talent coming through the ranks, and I'm excited to see her pull on, hopefully, the Wallaroos jersey.
Yeah, big shout out to the Moleka family. The sisters are over at the World Cup, so hopefully they can go over and watch them at some point. And on that note, Shelley, thank you, Damas. Is that right? Am I correct in saying that for Tok Pisin? Or no?
That's right. You can say Tinky True.
Perfect.
Yes, that's how you say great work, Sam.
That's what I'm going to use moving forward. Tinky True. And on that note, we'll see you next Monday.
See you, Shelley.
Look him you.
All right, thanks for that, Shelley. Appreciate it. Now let's get to the chat that Tinnerau and I had last week with Tongan rugby union player Charlie Gamble, who was a standout in the Pacifica First Nations game a few weeks back.
It's Nation Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinnerau Arona.
All right, my final season of rugby before the curtains came crashing down, T, was spent at the Waratahs, injured, stuck in rehab, doing a fair bit of rehab running. And next to me on those rehab runs is our next guest, and I got to know him pretty well. Absolute legend of a bloke, and that's where I found out he was Tongan. So Tongan Kiwi, and he was recently named Man of the Match for the First Nations Pacifica side against the British and Irish Lions. And before he cracked the Waratahs, interesting story, he was playing like 7th division type of footy, just to put things in context, for Petersham here in Sydney. And then 12 months later, he ends up training with the Waratahs and going on to getting man of the match in that game. So let's welcome him right now, Charlie Gamble, to Nation Footy. How are you, bro?
Thanks for that. Yeah, good to be on, guys. Thanks for having me.
So, I don't know if Sammy was telling the truth there. He tried saying that you ran next to him during the rehab. Bro, I'm pretty sure this guy's like way in front and you would have
been. No, he had a calf thing. Injury, so he had to be slow.
So he was next to you with one leg.
One leg, yes.
Yeah, we did a lot of MAS running together, that's for sure. That wasn't fun.
Oh, it wasn't fun, eh, man? Honestly, that's where I really got to know you. And then probably the same way as our, we're going to play a bit of an audio clip here, the way your coach, described, you know, finding out how you were Tongan. It's probably the same way. I had the same type of experience and reaction as well. But let's have a listen to the great man, Totai Kefu.
First of all, I said to him, mate, congratulations. And the next thing I said was, I didn't even know you were Tongan, mate. You look Greek or Italian.
I thought the same thing when you told me you were Tongan.
Honestly, everyone says the same thing. I don't know what it is. Obviously, probably just the long hair in the start. It looks a bit like Mario, but yeah, definitely Tongan. Very proud of it.
Yeah, nice. So let's go there now with mum being Tongan. So what is your connection to your Tongan side, and whereabouts is she from in the motherland?
Yeah, so mum's Tongan, dad's Palangi. Mum was born in Nukualofa, but then grew up in Naiafu in Vava'u. Yeah, pretty cool. Like, I haven't been back since I was like a baby, but they usually go back for holidays all the time. So I've got an auntie over there and stuff like that. So, it's pretty cool. I probably lost a bit of touch since I moved out of home. I was probably the first one to admit that, but like, very proud to definitely be able to represent my Tongan side and be Tongan, yeah.
And what about your upbringing? Was it surrounded by your Tongan culture?
Yeah. So I remember going to Tongan church every Sunday with my family, all the feasts that we went to, lots of Tongan dancing and stuff like that. Yeah, so I was very much grew up around Tongan culture, and my mum actually tried teaching us all obviously how to speak it, but yeah, I'm probably not too smart up top, so she probably just gave up on me. But I definitely knew when I was going to get a hiding, that's about it.
So. Yeah, there's no language for that one, you just know. Your mum's last name, what is her maiden name?
Ma'u.
Oh, Ma'u, there you go. Okay, any other relations to any other famous Tongan players in any code?
Well, I actually haven't asked about, because obviously there was a dude that played for the Eels. But yeah,
Manu Ma'u.
Yep.
Probably need to ask mum. I haven't really dug into that side.
When you think about your Tongan upbringing, so how many siblings do you have, and being down in Christchurch, I believe, you know, what's it like down there? You know, going to school and being amongst other Tongans or other Pacific Islanders down there.
Yeah. So I grew up with 8 siblings, 3 half ones, and then I'm the oldest of 5 from mum and dad. But yeah, like, Christchurch, it was good. Went to college, St. Bede's College, a Catholic school there. Probably a bit more known, not as many Pacific Islanders in the South Island. So my school wasn't really filled with lots of Islanders. But, like, still pretty cool. Like I said, I still grew up around, you know, all my aunties and uncles and all my cousins and stuff, and being able to obviously do all that stuff at Tongan Church. And my sister used to dance a lot. We used to go to lots of things like that, so it was cool. Really loved it.
I love hearing stories from fellow South Islanders, being born and grew up in Dunedin myself, where rugby union was.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a big part of our upbringing, but also not many Pacific Islanders in our towns as well. So do understand how you felt growing up, but do you know the reasons why your parents or why your mum moved from Tonga to Christchurch?
I think, my dad used to coach rugby in the islands in Tonga when he was younger. I haven't actually asked the detail because I'm just like, it is what it is. But
9 months later, Charlie was there after one of the coaching sessions.
yeah, something like that. I think mum used to work at a hotel or something over there. She was in hotel work, and then I don't know if they followed each other over, but yeah, I kind of haven't really asked about that, to be honest.
Well, that's a pretty cool experience. Your dad, is he Kiwi and then decided to do some coaching? Was it at a school? Was it a club team? Was he living there?
Yeah. I think he coached at one of the schools. I can't remember which one it was, but yeah, dad did a lot of coaching when he was a bit younger, and then did a bit of coaching in New Zealand as well, but he kind of always coached me up until I went to high school, and then once that happened, I obviously... That's probably the first time I've had a coach that wasn't him.
is he one of those coaches towards you, or was he you could communicate? Or
yeah, he still thinks he can coach me now. I just let him have it. It's all good.
Oh, unreal. Hey, let's go towards your where you are now in terms of with the Waratahs. You've had a fair few seasons there now. I know you've had a couple of injuries, but yeah, before you got to the Waratahs, you were playing for the Crusader Knights. I guess essentially Crusader B team. You decide to come over to Australia, and I believe, was it a Facebook message from Petersham recruitment officer that said, hey, do you want to play rugby for us? Is that correct?
Yeah, so basically I had a pretty bad injury on my foot when I was at the Academy of the Crusaders, and then probably took me a year to kind of rehab that and get ready. So that kind of, I was down in the dumps a wee bit, and I was like, I need to just kind of start fresh and see what's out there. So I went out on myself and just went on some rugby agent page online and just kind of put my CV there. And then obviously you kind of get messages from Spain and all these weird countries and Portugal. And then obviously there was this club in Sydney that got in contact with me, and I was like, I almost tossed up Spain. I almost went to Spain. I was like, let's just do it. Cause obviously you're young and you're just yeah.
Cool. You would have fit right in there too.
Get a bit of pocket money, you go to Spain. But I got convinced otherwise, luckily, and then someone was like, just go to Sydney. Obviously, only 3-hour plane ride away. I did a bit of research of what Subbies was, and I knew that it wasn't anything where I wanted to be, but for me, it was more just good opportunity just to kind of get back on my feet with rugby and sort my body out, and then it's also a good opportunity to just kind of explore Sydney and get a gauge of that and just kind of live instead of having the pressure of, being a young athlete trying to make it. And to be honest, that was probably the best thing I ever done to myself, because put no pressure on myself, kind of got away from everyone. And after I finished that season, I was like, you know what, let's just do it. Let's just switch on and get it going. And basically the next year I signed with Tars and still here now.
Charlie, during that time where you are playing Subbies footy, look, it's 2 nights a week training, if that, sometimes even at that level, and it is about just enjoyment, fun. What did you learn about yourself in that time to know that, okay, I can go to higher levels from this position? Because other people would look at that and go, well, you can't make it from here. Mm-hmm. But what did you learn about yourself to be able to take yourself to that next level?
Yeah, I guess I kind of been able to get away from probably the pressures of your family, pressure of your friends, and just kind of going to this level where I had played, like you said, I'd played Crusader Knights, I'd played in front of decent crowds and played with big name players, where I thought I was probably going to make it when I was 17, 18, and then not being able to do that, and then coming over to Sydney, just kind of enjoying myself and not really thinking too much about the rugby and just having that fun with my mates and just playing rugby for the love of the game instead of actually just trying to play it to make it professionally. Yeah, it definitely was probably the biggest learning for me. And then going through that season, we ended up winning the championship, obviously made it so much more enjoyable. So I give credit to the boys that are actually in the team as well, because yeah, there's some good blokes there that I'm still mates with. Yeah, we had a lot of fun. And then for that, it was just a refreshment for my body and my mind to be able to go into to East in 2019, the year after, yeah.
Nice. And then you've made your Waratah's debut, you've played plenty of games now, but it's led you to the First Nations and Pacifica team that recently played against the British and Irish Lions, and it was one of the could have been, you know, nearly won that game. How did the process go for you to be able to be selected into that team?
Yeah, so basically I was, whenever you get a chance to play the British and Irish Lions, obviously it's pretty special. So knowing that I was going to have one chance with the Tars, I was like, that's pretty cool. But when they named it, that they were going to have a First Nations Pacifica team, I honestly got on the front foot straight away and I called my agent and I was like, Cam, like, you need to get me to be in this team. I don't know how, but just like, if you know anyone, can you please get me in there? And then he got back a couple of days later and he's like, yeah, Kess will give you a call later in the week. You should be in. And I was like, sweet. I was like, actually so stoked. And obviously being in Australia, you don't really get many chances to obviously represent your culture like directly like that. So to be able to obviously do that and then do that against the British and Irish Lions and get to play them twice, I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah.
Before we get to the camp and that experience, what was that conversation like with Totai when you first spoke to him?
Yeah, it was good. Like, obviously, I actually have never met him before, and that was the first time I've spoken to him, but knew who he was, obviously. I was actually on the way to play. Who was I playing? I was playing for Eastern Suburbs, and I remember him calling me, and then he said it was Kess. I was like, yes, like, so keen. That was pretty cool. He literally said, he was like, I had no idea you were even Tongan. I was like, I don't even know, like, what the hell? I swear, like, no Tongan thinks I'm Tongan. So it's pretty funny, though. But yeah, it was cool. He just told me to keep my body going and make sure that I'm ready and there'll be more comps coming. So yeah, it was pretty cool.
Is that why you asked your agent to reach out? Like,
just to
make sure that they knew that you were Tongan as well?
Well, yeah, I honestly, every Tongan player that I meet that doesn't actually know me doesn't know that I'm Tongan. Like, I'll say something and then I'll say that I'm Tongan. They'll be like, no way. Like, even Tane Alatupu, like, first time I met him, he was like, wait, you're Tongan? I was like, what? Like, I can't be that plastic.
Oh, we can't use plastic on here. No, that's all good, but I know what you mean. Maybe you have to just get it tattooed on you or something like that. Yeah, I'm Tongan, Kaz.
But then it might be one of those.
Like everyone does.
Get one of those looks where it's like, oh, this guy just went and got a tribal tattoo and he's not even Tongan. Or
having that feeling, though, especially going into a camp like that, how do you wrestle in your head around that sense of belonging and almost having to prove yourself that you are Tongan? You've got Tongan blood running through you. Like, how do you wrestle with that in your mind when you have to continue to explain yourself?
Yeah, well, I don't know. It wasn't necessarily hard for me because, like, for myself, I obviously knew that I grew up, like, around a very heavy Tongan culture. Like, my mum is very Tongan. My mum's full Tongan. My dad's Palangi. Like, there is so much Tongan stuff in my house. Like, everything we do does actually revolve around my Tongan side. So, like, I wasn't really trying to find a belonging because I definitely feel Tongan, like, just because I probably can't speak it or anything doesn't make me lesser. And I'm just trying to learn more each and every day about it as well. So,
I can totally relate, man. That was a big reason why I kept my hair. Because when I used to shave it, man, everyone thought I was like Lebanese, Maori. Like, I just covered all markets. And so when people like started recognizing my hair and they go, oh, he must be some type of Pacific Islander, I think that was an identity thing. Now it's come to just laziness. I don't want to cut my hair anymore. But, you know, when you're in that camp, you've had that conversation with Toto, what was the first thing you did straight after that phone call around, you know, talking to mum, or who did you tell?
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, I called my little brother who's pretty obsessed with rugby. I told him about it. I couldn't really tell anyone because as soon as I tell mom and dad, like, it'll be all over the internet. It'll have called everyone. So, like, I didn't want to tell them before it went out because everyone would have known before they got released. But, yeah, when they obviously found out, they were pretty proud. Mum was very proud. And they ended up actually coming over to the game from New Zealand and watching it. So that was a pretty cool moment.
You said earlier when you moved out of home that you may have distanced yourself a little bit from your Tongan connection, your connection to your Tongan culture. Now, going into these camps, you know, we spoke to Totai over the last month around his plan and wanting to really reconnect and bring the playing group together. You're also with your other First Nations players, but also other Pacifica players. What was that experience like for yourself to be able to come into a camp and reconnect to your Tongan roots?
Yeah, honestly, it was actually an amazing week. Big highlight of my career, probably the biggest highlight. I think it was just awesome because, you know, you're connecting with these boys and these coaches, past players as well, that, you know, you've versed them or you've seen them play on TV and you don't really know who they are, but you know, when you're telling each other your stories of your upbringing and like your journeys with your families and how it all kind of came about, like the stories are so similar. Like, it didn't really matter what culture you were from. Like, everyone kind of had the same story, which was actually really amazing. And just get a sense of that and feel that from other players was pretty cool. Yeah.
When you think about connecting as a team, you had a short amount of time to be able to do that. And yeah, again, talking to Tota, you know, connection was a big piece. What were some examples around, you know, who you roomed with or how you had dinner, like around connection that you really enjoyed?
Yeah, so obviously for Indigenous and Pacific people, straight away, you've already got a connection there, so it's actually pretty easy. Obviously, only got a week's time, which is tough, but like, yeah, basically every day we'd have a connection piece at 5:30 before our dinner. We'd sit there 30 minutes or an hour, and it'd be kind of a piece on Pacific culture or this Indigenous as well. That was pretty cool. And then we'd do little activities one-on-one where we'd pair up with people and learn something about them and obviously their families and how they made it to New Zealand and things like that. So that was pretty cool as well, to be able to learn that on a bit of a deeper level as well.
Sounds cool. What's the one highlight from the camp? I know you played the British and Irish Lions, also got Man of the Match, which is unreal, but the highlight for yourself during camp?
That's a tough one. It was just such a good week. Like, I think just being able to, like, we trained at St. Kevin's in Melbourne, to be able to just, like, go out there and train and kind of have, we were just kind of having fun as we were learning. And, you know, how Islanders and Indigenous people like when all together, it's just lots of laughs and jokes. And but obviously when there was time to switch on, we switch on. But it was just so fun, like, the week in general. And being able to meet so many good people and new people was, yeah, pretty cool. So I can't put it down to, like, one thing, yeah.
Who was the loudest in camp?
Nella for sure. Hey, probably. You can hear him laugh from anywhere.
just on that, like, did you notice a shift in some personalities? Say, like, someone like Daniela, you're with him at the Waratahs. How did that environment bring him out of his shell and bring yourself out of your shell compared to, yeah, being in a Waratahs environment and that type of environment?
Yeah, I think you just feel a little bit more relaxed. It doesn't feel like, you know, someone's breathing down your neck 24/7. But like I said, like when it was time to switch on, we all knew, like, hey, let's go. We'd switch on, and I guess that's kind of the brotherhood. You can tell the person next to you, let's go when it's time to go. But obviously when we're joking around and having a laugh, everyone gets involved as well. So that's pretty good part about it as well, yeah.
And when you think about, you know, some of the legends, not just as players, but like Tana Umanga, and, you know, you've got Sekope Gepel there as well, Glenn Ella. You know, for your parents to then come over and be part of that and meet them maybe for the first time, you know, what was that like, the feeling around being amongst greatness like that?
Yeah, it was surreal. I don't know how to explain it. I still can't believe it's kind of happened. But, yeah, those people that you've named, I could speak about one of them for 30 minutes each, like, or more. Like, these are some of the greats of the game. Like, to be able to spend a week with them, knowing what their journey was and what their rugby career was, is actually amazing. So to be able to pick their brains a little bit and obviously connect on another level with them was truly an honour. And, you know, maybe down the line, hopefully we can get this team going again, and you never know. See what happens.
I really hope it does continue on, because, you know, hearing the stories from, you know, the coach, Totai, and yourself, sounds like it made a big impact, not only for the individuals, but also the communities as well that was involved. Last question from me. What's next? You know, you've taken a couple of risks and, you know, found yourself now here in this position. What are your plans for the future, and what are some of your goals?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm stuck in a bit of a crossroads. So I've got another year at Tars, obviously. I've been here since, this would be my seventh season. I want to be able to play international footy, whether that's for Australia or whether that's for Tonga. That'll definitely be my next step. I just got to figure out, you know, what's best for myself. Yeah, well, that's definitely the next goal for me. Just trying to get my body right for next year, have a good next year, and then see where we go. Yeah.
Finally from me, around preparation, I spoke to Nella after the game and Rob Leota, and they were talking about how they had kava every day. I'm not suggesting that you're going to do that every time, but, you know, being at club level, like at subbies, being in a professional environment like the Tars, and being in that environment, How has that sort of now shaped you around preparation and getting that balance right between fun and switching on?
Yeah, I guess it comes down to the individual themselves. Like you said, a lot of the Islander boys probably have carved during a normal week of footy, and it'll work for them. I'm pretty laid back myself. Like, my preparation is pretty chilled. Nothing really pinpoint. I just kind of do what I do and take the pressure off myself, and then I don't really fire up until I've actually stepped on the field. But, yeah, I guess preparation is, I can individualise. So, yeah.
And what did I offer to the Waratahs besides being in rehab and wasting space in that team in your in that year?
Don't be silly. We love
you, bro. we'll clip it there. We loved you, bro. We'll just take that bit. But honestly, man, it's been an absolute pleasure, one, to be able to share the field with you or rehab running with you and just see the growth over the last 7 years. And we are stoked that you got that opportunity to reconnect and be in that First Nations and Pacifica team, and maybe we get to see you in the red jersey at the World Cup here in Australia. So who knows? We'll watch this space.
Or the Wallabies, bro.
Or the Wallabies here in Australia. So much love and all the best.
Nah, thanks, boys. Appreciate it so much.
Give me three answers for this one.
Yes, give me three. Give me three. Guess what? After your questions last week.
Yeah.
T messages me straight away and said, is Will serious? And then puts on the group chat to our producer, Declan, did you, like, you know, vet these questions to say that, like, mate, surely how could you have passed this? Is he serious?
Well, he might be disappointed because he's going to get 0 points.
Nah, out. Don't sell yourself short. But yeah, anyway, give me three. This is our categories game and it's 3 points up for grabs each week. And yep, I was 3 from 3 last week thanks to your beautiful questions, Will. And here we go. The score is I am in front 26-25, so which is great news for me. I'm hoping you don't get any, but you should get some because I like to make sure that you at least have a chance.
All right, okay,
at two of them. So
send me some good vibes, T, wherever you are.
Mate, he doesn't know what good energy is, that fella. Oh, Negatron. You're talking about glass half full. He's half empty. Anyway, out of all the teams in the NRL and NRLW, your family members have only debuted against 4 different clubs. Yours was against the Broncos. Give me the other 3 clubs for your dad, John, Jamil, Albert, Lehigh, and Parnie. There's 3 other teams.
All right. I know Jamil debuted against the Cowboys.
Yep, that's 1.
Lehigh debuted against Melbourne.
That's 2. So Lehigh and...
Albert debuted against Melbourne.
Yeah, so the Storm and Melbourne. So that's 2. Yeah, they're the 2 other clubs. There's 1 more other club.
1 more other club, okay.
More for Parnie and your dad. Where were you for Parnie? So that was not that long ago.
Yeah, I think I was still in England at the time. I was playing in England, so I didn't get to go to her debut. I was there for Jamil's and I was there for Lehigh's. Albert, we were in the bubble, COVID. And my dad, I was still in nappies.
I thought he was going to still somewhere else. Yeah. Weren't quite ready yet. You were made after that game, yeah, but anyway.
Yeah. My dad and Bunny. Well, I'm going to just take a stab in the dark.
Take it, my friend.
I actually don't know, and I will say the Parramatta Eels.
The Raiders.
Was it?
It was against the Raiders. Both of them debuted against the Raiders. Okay. So there you have it. Just 4 clubs out of all their teams out there.
Interesting.
The Hopewate family has debuted against. So there we have it. 2 out of 3, not bad, which takes the score. T is now, what's that make it?
There you go, T. Happy with that, mate.
27-26. One behind us, my turn next week. But that's our time up for Nesian Footy Mondays. Make sure you tell your friends about Nesian Footy. Get it wherever you get your podcasts or on the ABC Pacific website. Thanks for jumping in again. Will we see you next week?
Yes, I'll be
here
next Monday.
In next Monday.
Thanks
Perfect.
For having me, Sammy.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.
For centuries, Pacific Islanders have been sharing stories that connect us across the region. Stories from the Pacific is a weekly program that continues that tradition, bringing you deep and personal stories from a diverse range of people. Athletes, farmers, artists, teachers, activists, entrepreneurs, all united by their Pacific heritage and incredible journeys.
Listen to Stories from the Pacific on your favorite podcast app.